Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom yet unseen we love, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken again from John chapter 20. This time we'll read from verse 24 through verse 31. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Besides Judas, who betrayed the Lord, which one of the disciples is usually portrayed in a bad light? Maybe Peter comes to mind for a few because he did deny the Lord before his crucifixion. But usually the disciple that pops into people's mind after Judas as the one who is portrayed most in a bad light is the disciple Thomas. His skepticism at the reports of Jesus' resurrection have given him the nickname Doubting Thomas. Thomas was clearly a man who wanted evidence. He wanted something he could touch, that he could see, something he could feel, to prove that Jesus had, in fact, conquered death and risen again. He wasn't willing to take the words of others for it. He wasn't even willing to take the words of Jesus for it. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the sermon. His words in our text leave no doubt what his attitude was like. Listen again to what Thomas said. He said, "Unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." But our view of the disciples is not always all that fair. The skepticism that Thomas doubts, we often shake our heads at him and we give him this nickname, Doubting Thomas. But don't we have to admit the skepticism that he exhibits, the need for tangible, visible evidence, it's not something that was unique to Thomas. It wasn't unique amongst his fellow apostles, and it's not unique among us. We all have a little bit of Thomas inside each one of us, don't we? We all, to some degree, at certain times, have the attitude of, "I'll believe it, only when I see it." If that is our general attitude, do you realize how impractical that type of attitude actually is? How absurd it is to only believe in things that you can see with your own eyes? You actually probably believe in many things that you cannot see with your own eyes, or maybe things that you've never seen with your own eyes, but you do believe they exist. You believe they exist because you have overwhelming evidence, proof that they do exist. I have never physically seen with my own eyes oxygen molecules, but I breathe every moment of every day, so I believe that they exist. It's pretty overwhelming evidence. I'm still breathing, I still live, therefore they must exist. Thinking along those same lines, you can use one of the scriptural examples. Think of the example of the wind. You cannot actually physically see the wind, but you know it exists. If you've ever been out on a windy day, you know for sure it exists. You can see the effects and the evidence of the wind, therefore you believe in wind. The fact is, we believe in these things even though we cannot see them. And you could make a list of countless other things that we are very certain of, that we believe in without doubting even though we have never seen them. We know them to be true. Well, why is it that we don't often use this very clear an obvious type of thinking when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to his promises, when it comes to his word? We do have evidence for God all around us and even inside of us. We have evidence all around us in the magnificent way he's made us, in the beautiful creation he's provided for us, in the way that he preserves and blesses every single one of us every single day. Most importantly, he's told us about himself. He's given us pages and pages of writings, documented historical eyewitness evidence of himself that he had written down about himself. Examples, illustrations, decrees, commandments, prophecies, and promises that have been miraculously preserved for us for thousands of years. At the very least, all people should believe that there is a God, believe in his existence, and that he must be incredibly wise and powerful just as easily as they believe in the existence and the power of something like the wind. In the same way, Thomas really should have put those pieces together before Jesus had to come to him and physically appear to him and have him touch his hands and put his hand into his side. He should have realized well before Jesus appeared that Jesus had, in fact, risen from the dead as he said he would. Think of the evidence that Thomas had. Thomas had the eyewitness testimony of the women who saw Jesus on the way back from his empty tomb. He had the eyewitness testimony of two disciples who would have had a very detailed and interesting story about walking with the risen Jesus on Easter afternoon. Those two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. He even had the eyewitness testimony of his close, trusted friends, the rest of Jesus' disciples. And they tell Thomas in our text, "We have seen the Lord." They saw him. He appeared to them on Easter night. He had all this evidence. Thomas had no reason not to believe. But he chose instead to believe his reason and his intellect. On top of all this, during Jesus' ministry, Thomas and the rest of the disciples actually heard Jesus tell them very clearly that he was going to do exactly this, that he would suffer, that he would die, and the third day he would rise again. We have, in fact, three separate accounts where Jesus prophesied this. He may have said it more times than that, but we have three times where he says it to them written down for us in the gospel accounts. One of those is from Mark chapter 10. Then Jesus took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." The very words of Jesus. At the very least, Thomas should have believed those words of Jesus himself. Well, as is the case with Thomas, so often the case with us, the problem is that there isn't evidence or reasons enough to believe, but rather that our reason will not let us believe. We sometimes hear people speak of having faith in Jesus as true God as being a blind faith. In a sense, I guess that is true. It's blind in the sense that we've never physically seen Jesus with our own eyes. The letter of the Hebrews actually defines faith as being something that we can't see or that we don't see. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. However, our faith in Christ is not really a blind faith. At least not in the sense that there is no evidence for it at all. Again, we have pages and pages of historical evidence, accurate testimony from many eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection. Eyewitnesses whose words were inspired by God himself. Through the eyes of these men, and through our eyes of faith, we too then are eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. We can say, in a sense, we too have seen the Lord. But sometimes that's not enough for us. Sometimes our sinful flesh likes to crop up and say, yes, but I really would rather see him with my physical eyes. Then I would believe. Then I'd be convinced. Like Thomas, our natural reason and intellect often work against our faith and often can lead us to doubt the very words of Jesus himself. Jesus, however, does not want this type of doubting Thomas faith from his followers. He doesn't want a follower who says, I'll believe it when I see it. And we know that because of what Jesus says to Thomas in our text. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The fact that we have not yet seen Jesus with our physical eyes should not worry us and should not cause us to doubt. In times of weakness, when we are, like Thomas, demanding or asking for more physical evidence, something that we can see, what we're doing is actually narrowing down the evidence to our preferred search. Only the things that are visible to our eyes, things that we can touch, things that we can feel, physical proof. That is what we want to see. But when we do that, we ignore lots of other proofs. We ignore the fact that God's handprints are all over creation. We're ignoring the natural knowledge we have of him, including the fact that we have a conscience that reminds us that we are accountable to a creator, something he's placed there inside each one of us. When we do such a thing, we also ignore the valuable evidence of the cross. The cross where Jesus gave his life for us and gives us the unquestionable proof that he loves us, that he would do anything for us and has done all that is necessary to save us from our sins, to save us from hell itself. And worst of all, then we deny or we neglect or forget about the evidence of God's very own words himself. Words that he inspired his own eyewitnesses to write. Eyewitnesses like John, who was there, and who says to us in the last verse of our text, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Jesus comes to us in that very word that John refers to, comes to you and me today to remove our doubts. He says to each one of us, reach your finger here. And look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. See and touch the wounds I bore on that cross for your sins, for my sins. See and touch that I am your living, loving Savior. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So while our faith really isn't a blind faith, it truly is a blessed faith. Isn't it a comfort to know that Jesus is speaking to you and me when he says the beautiful words of our text, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That refers to you and to me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. On top of that, Jesus has also given us those sure and certain words of eyewitnesses like Peter, who wrote to Christians who are in the same boat as you and I, had never seen Jesus with their physical eyes, the words from our scripture reading for this morning. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The fact is, we believe in plenty of things in this life without actually seeing them with our physical eyes. We can look at the evidence for things like oxygen and the wind, and we can be sure they do in fact exist. Take a look at all the evidence Jesus has given to us that he lived, that he died, and that he lives again. Or just take his word for it. You can trust him. He has made many promises. Some have counted thousands of promises in God's word. And he has never broken one. With eyes of faith and with full confidence, we can say today with the disciples, we have seen the Lord. And there will come a day when you and I will be able to say with Job of the Old Testament that we shall see him with our very own eyes. For I know that my Redeemer lives, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.